just maybe, he's not actually getting anywhere. He begins to think of new ways of moving, new ways of living. He even starts to take a step. But life is busy. His boss needs him. His family needs him. Every hour of every day, there are so many things to do. But that's okay. Busy is good. After all, it keeps you moving.
Consistently. Oh boy, consistently. Anybody want to grab a hold of that? It's kind of tough, isn't it, to be consistent on a treadmill. But life is like a treadmill, isn't it? Really is. It just keeps you going. You know, gets faster and faster. Did you feel like Joe sometime or another? Did you? Now, I could go this way for a long time. This is a little more difficult, isn't it? I could go this way for a while, too. I'd prefer it a little bit slower, you know? The real challenge, though, is when things begin. Have you ever been, how many of you have ever been on a stress test? And this is what they do in a stress test. Now, this is about as high as it can go. And your heart gets to beating pretty fast. And they speed it up. I'm not going to speed it up here this morning. And I'm going to get anxious about getting down here pretty soon. Is it going down?
Yes.
Good. I'd like for it to go down more. But life is like that way, isn't it? You get humps and you get valleys, you get mountaintops. Gradually going down on me. Sometimes you just feel like getting off of this thing, wouldn't you? Well, we hope to slow down the treadmill in the next few weeks so that we can take some time to answer some questions in our lives, some important questions that we have in our lives. Now, it's going to require this. It's going to require that you slow down, or it's going to require that you get off of it. Okay? We want you to slow down. In some cases, just get off the treadmill for a while, just so that you can answer some of life's most important questions. This morning, our question, in fact, if you've got your Bible with you, I'd really like you to turn over in your Bible to the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. The 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And I want us to answer today, or work on answering. We're pursuing answers. And we're pursuing this question today, why am I here? Have you ever felt like there was something more to life than what you were going through? Have you ever felt like there was something more to life? As a young man on a farm, I was creating a significant amount of money because my dad wasn't paying me any wages or anything like that, but he was paying me whatever milk my cows produced. And I had 8 or 10 cows who were good cows that were producing good milk. And I personally was putting $1,200 a month in a bank. How many of you would like to put $1,200 away every month? Today, now, you got to realize that was years ago. And so that was a significant amount of money. I'm talking about about thousands of dollars today if we you know made it today in today's money. What I'm trying to say is I was able to go out and buy whatever I wanted as far as clothes is concerned. And I discovered that clothes didn't make me happy. I mean, even looking nice didn't make me happy. Didn't make me a better person. I bought some more cattle. I bought some machinery. I didn't have any property as such, but I had machinery and I was worth a little bit of money. But you know, having stuff and doing stuff, I could do whatever I wanted to do. It didn't make me happy. There's got to be more to life than this, is what I was saying to myself. Went out and bought a brand spanking new car off the showroom floor. Brand spanking new car. Wasn't too long until the cops were chasing me up and down the road. Or when I left town, they left town with me. It's the trouble. That's what I had trouble with. And my foot was just sort of like that on the accelerator. I couldn't control my foot, you know. I'm not talking, I was that scared of them being behind me. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Anyway, I discovered that having a brand new car and that kind of thing didn't make me happy. What I was asking the question, is this all there is? And I had girlfriends as much as any young guy could want. And they didn't make me happy. And I was asking the question, is this all there is? And I'm hoping some of you this morning are asking that same question or have asked that same question and have solved that question in your own individual life. I want you to see this morning that Zacchaeus is probably one of those guys that was looking or asking the question, why am I here? Is this all there is to life? And let me start reading about verse 1 in chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. He ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to try and see him since Jesus was coming that way. Now, you got to understand that Zacchaeus was a successful guy. He was wealthy. He was an important guy in the community. He was probably the chief tax collector and the main guy as far as the IRS in Jericho. He was that kind of a guy. Now, he was a guy that had the bling bling going. He had money. He had fame. And he hears this man Jesus. He's coming to town. And he does something very significant, and something very significant, I think, for each of us here in this place. He makes the decision to do whatever it takes to look beyond himself to go see Jesus. And what I want you to write down this morning is this. We've got to learn to look beyond ourselves. May I suggest to you the first thing that if you want to discover purpose for your life this morning is to look beyond yourself. Now, you may have gone to a number of different sources trying to find the answer to some of life's most important questions or to find an answer to why am I here. You may have gone to self-help books and self-help resources and the motivational speakers. And what I've discovered over the years is they try to get you to look within yourself to find the inner person. And once you find your inner person, you'll be able to work with that inner person. Well, may I say this to you this morning? I think there's value in looking inside, but I think it's also more important that you look beyond yourself. And so the first thing is that we have to look beyond ourselves to God. We have to look beyond ourselves to God. Now, this guy was not... He was a wealthy person, an important person in the community, but he was not the most liked person in the community. In fact, he was classified, and he was a part of the class that everybody sort of felt negative about. The beggars, the prostitutes, the sinners. He was classified in that group of people. They were all together. He was a popular man, but he was a negative guy in the negative sense. And in fact, I think that's one of the reasons why when instead of, I think that's one of the reasons why he couldn't get through the crowd to get to Jesus. The people didn't like him. But he looked beyond himself to find answers. And that was the intelligent thing that he did. Now, how many of you in here in this place have read the book, Purpose Driven Life, at some time or another in your life? Purpose Driven Life. Okay. May I say to you, if you haven't, it's one of the most important, in my mind, one of the most important Christian books you can read. And after this series of 40 days is over, I'd be glad to loan you a copy or give you a copy of that book. We have about 8 or 9 copies around here. And it's a book that's worth reading for you. But how many of you remember the first sentence in the book? How many of you remember the first sentence in the book? I see a couple of hands. That's good. And the first sentence in the book is, it's not about you. Let's say that together. It's not about you. Now let me read the rest of the paragraph when you listen along with me. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, and even your happiness. It's far greater than your family and your career or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. And you were born by His purpose and for His purpose. And what we're going to do around this place in the next 40 days is we're going to push the button on the treadmill or slow it down as far as slow as it can go. And long enough so that we can consider our purpose in life. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We want to look beyond ourselves to God and ask what He may have for us to do and what He may have for us. Okay? Now, some of you are asking questions here today. Some of you are spiritually seeking. And you're asking questions that are important in life. You're asking questions about the Bible and about life and about purpose. And may I say to you, what we're going to do in the next 5 or 6 weeks is important because we're going to answer some of those key questions to your life. And our hope and our prayer for you is that over the next 40 days, you'll do this. You'll make some friends. You'll make some friends. And you'll get some answers to some of those questions that you have. We're not going to predetermine those questions for you. We're going to hope you figure out those answers for yourself as the result of the study of what we do. And we're going to hope that you walk out of this place with a new perspective on life and a new direction in life. And we hope that there's going to be some transformation. And it's our prayer to God that there will be some transformation in your life. Now, the second thing that I want you to see this morning is this. Yeah, we need to discover what we can learn from Zacchaeus. But we need to discover this, that we need to find some DTR time with God. We need to make some DTR time. Now, you're saying, what in the world is DTR time, aren't you? How many are asking that question? Never heard that phrase before. What in the world's DTR time? Let's define it this way. Define the relationship time. That's what it is. Define the relationship time. Now let me talk to you about relationships a little bit. Let me go back into my own life when I was a young college student. When I went off to college, I went off to college with a girlfriend. We both went off to college together. We were pretty serious about each other, but in that year off to college, that first year, things began to fade a little bit, and things weren't good when I went home that first summer. That first summer, went into a youth ministry. While I was there at that youth ministry, I'd made a commitment in my own life that I was not going to do any dating or anything like that. And I was pretty much going to focus on what was going on. Well, that summer I worked with a young lady all summer long, and we worked with the youth group. And the youth groups were there in that church. And at the end of the summer, she went back to college, and I went back to college. And then, when I would come back home, I started meeting up and connecting up with another young lady who was named Pat. And so I had a girlfriend at the place where I was ministering. And I had a girlfriend when I went back to college. We sort of renewed this old relationship, and we were seeing each other and spending a little bit of time together. But I had this girl off of college that I was called on the phone almost every day. And, you know, I put so many quarters in that phone, the phone company had to come out and unfill it every once in a while. Let me ask a question. Does anybody, do you know what a phone booth is? You do? Most teenagers, you know what a phone booth is. Most teenagers don't know what a phone booth is. Now, most of us have got a little bit of age to us. Know what a phone booth. Anyway, I'd filled that phone booth up a couple times, along with some other boys who were calling their girlfriends as well. But pretty soon, and I was a resident assistant, and so I had access to what was going to happen, and on a regular basis in the fall of the year, we would have a sneak day. And so on this sneak day, I snuck off and drove all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio to Lincoln, Illinois to spend a little bit of time with this girl in Lincoln. And what was I doing there? I was defining the relationship. You know what defining the relationship is? I was developing and defining the relationship. We were determining where this relationship was going to go. And that's really what I'd like for us to do in the next 40 days. I'd really like for us to define the relationship with the Lord and with God. And that's what we're trying to do around here in the next 40 days. We're just trying to develop and define the relationship. We see here first that Zacchaeus was looking beyond himself to Jesus, and Jesus comes into town walking alone, and Jesus walks right up to Zacchaeus and calls him down out of the tree for a little what? A little DTR time, define the relationship time. That's what we're talking about this morning. In your notes this morning, follow along with me. It says in the fourth verse and following, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, I googled a sycamore fig tree, and what I discovered is this week I discovered a bunch of pictures of him, and the sycamore fig tree can have a really big trunk to it, but it also can have some other trunks that go up into the tree. But most of the time, a fig tree has a bunch of leaves on it, and I came to the conclusion that Zacchaeus probably didn't just climb up into that tree so he could see Jesus, but I think Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree so he could hide. So he could hide. You know, he wants to see him, but he doesn't want to be seen. Now, how many of you can say at some time or another in your life, you'd like to check out this Jesus thing, but you'd like for, you know, the fewer people that knew you were checking out this Jesus thing or this God thing, the fewer people there were, the better off you felt like you'd be. Have you ever felt that way? You'd like to know a little bit more about God, but you don't really want God to know about all that stuff that's in your life. You'd like to play a little bit of hide and seek, maybe. Now, I'm a grandpa, four times over, and Ashton and I have not, she's 16, and we've not done too much hide and seek together. But the other three kids, Wilkin and Elisa and Josiah, we played hide and seek a bunch of times. And the neatest thing is when you get Elisa, when she was younger, she's past this now, she really hides, but she would put her hands over her face, get up to a wall or just behind the chair, and you can see her back end sticking out. You know, and you would just play with that, you know, and have fun with her doing her hide and seek thing. Now, what's interesting, as we grow older, we still play hide and seek, don't we? And I'm talking about a spiritual sense, don't we? In a very real way, we play hide and seek with God. In an adult version, we play with God. It's one of the oldest tendencies that we have to play hide and seek with God. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you soon realize that the first two people on the earth, Adam and Eve, played hide and seek with God. God told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they did what God told them not to do, And what was the first thing that Adam and Eve did? They hid from him. They hid from God. And God comes back into the garden, and you read it there in the book of Genesis. And Adam and Eve are hiding from God. Now, why do you think they hide? Why do you think they hid? Why do you hide? Is it because of shame or because of guilt? Or is it because of some addiction that you don't want God to know about in your own individual life? Or is it because you want to hide your workaholicness? You know, we hide for a bunch of different reasons. Maybe we've done things and experienced things that we want to know more about, but we don't feel, or we want God to know about, but we don't feel worthy of God being involved in them. We don't know whether He'll accept us or forgive us in our lives. And our inclination, isn't it your inclination to pull away from God? You know, when we miss the mark, and when we sin, or we do our own thing, and we just have a sense of something being wrong in our lives, we back away from that. And God's coming through, walking through the garden, and what does He do? He says, Adam, where are you? Now, don't misunderstand me. God knew where He was. He knew where He was. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. But what did God want Adam to do? God wanted Adam to think about where he was in life. God wanted Adam and Eve to think about where they are in life. And it's important for us to think about where we are in life. It's important to think about where you are as we answer some of these key questions. And so a couple of the things we want to happen this week is we want you to get outside of yourself and ask questions of God. And we want you to spend some divine relationship time. We want you to answer some of the questions that are about you in relationship to the Lord. We want you to think about spiritual things. Now, I know this, that some of you are saying, I don't know if I believe all this stuff. And I want to say to you, that's okay. There's no big deal. You have to start where you are. We want you to start where you are. But we want you to start the journey. We want you to be honest with God about where you are. Now, some of you are here today and have been believers for years. Maybe for years, maybe just 6 months, maybe a long time. But we want you to define where you are. We want you to define that relationship. Maybe some of you are here and your heart is growing cold. It's getting harder. It's growing numb. You come to church and you don't know what's going on inside of you. It doesn't seem to gel. You don't seem like you're connected. You aren't sure where you are. We want you to be honest with God and go through the asking of these questions. Others here are going through some real struggles, some real challenging times in your life. And we want you to, we know that your life is being affected by what you're doing. We want you to accept the fact that where you are, but we want you to draw closer to God and define that relationship time and get with a group of people where you can talk and work through the challenges that you've got. Now, other people here in this place are riding real high. You're doing real good. Things are going well in life. And we want you to be an encouragement to other people around this place. And so, make a little DTR time with God over the next 40 days, just like Zacchaeus did. Another thing, a third thing, that I want you to do this in the next 40 days is this. I want you to learn from others in the community. I want you to learn from others in the community. Now, most of you have heard this little story. It's about a story about a bricklayer and an accident he had and a report that he made when he made a claim against an insurance company. Now, it begins this way, but you've heard the story, and I want you to hear the statement right at the end of the story. Don't want you to miss that part. And this story gets funnier as it goes along. Okay? And it's okay to laugh. It would have taken too long, he begins, to do it by hand, and so I decided to put the bricks in a barrel and then lower them by pulley, which I had fastened to the top of the building. After tying the rope securely at the ground level, I then went up to the top of the building and fastening the rope around the barrel, loaded it with bricks and swung it over the sidewalk for the descent. Then it went back to the sidewalk, untied the rope, and held it securely to guide the barrel down slowly. But since I weighed only 140 pounds and the 500-pound load jerked me up from the ground so fast that I didn't have time to think about letting go of the rope. And so as I passed between the second and third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on the upper part of my body. I held tightly to the rope until I reached the top, when my hand became jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang, and the bricks fell out, and the bottom fell out. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel weighed only 40 pounds. Thus, my 140-pound body began a swift descent. I met the barrel, the empty barrel, coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowed only slightly, I continued to descend and landed on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and broken collarbone. At that point, I lost my presence of mind completely, and I let go of the rope. The empty barrel came crashing down on me. This accounts for my head injuries. As for the last question on the insurance form, what would you do if the same situation arose again? He responds this way: please be advised that I am finished trying to do the job all by myself. In life, we don't have to do the job all by ourselves. We don't have to. We can do the job with the community of others. In fact, I'm convinced that God doesn't want us to be an island unto ourselves, and He doesn't want us to be Lone Ranger Christians. Now, notice what Jesus said. He says to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, and we're going to get together. I'm coming to your house. Now, put this in the back of your mind. You got to remember that this guy was not liked. But as well, it was not liked by the community. But as well, it was not a cultural thing to invite somebody like Zacchaeus to your home, nor a beggar or a prostitute or a sinner, and to actually sit down with somebody at a meal. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus sat down with him. He broke all the cultural laws and sat down with Zacchaeus. Now in the 19th chapter, verse 7, it says this: all the people saw this and began to mutter. Can't you hear them? You can just imagine them getting uptight. Can't you hear them saying, he's gone to be a guest of a sinner. He's going to be in Zacchaeus' house. Now, the thing that I want you to see is this: Zacchaeus valued this guy so much because he was so far, far away from God. They had a conversation, and Zacchaeus was blown away by this guy. Now, we're going on a journey, and I'm convinced of this, that if Jesus will show up in Zacchaeus' group, that He show up in your group, and if Jesus can show up in Zacchaeus' life and have a conversation with Zacchaeus, God can show up in your life and have a conversation with you. Now, some of you are going to say to me, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I've got too much to do. Some of you are saying to me, you aren't going to make me do this, Paul. I'm just not going to do this. And I can see it reeling back a little bit on your heels. You're just not going to do this. And may I say to you, I can't make you do anything. But I want to challenge you to make a choice. Why? Because I think it can change you and your spiritual life and your family and your marriage. And I think it'll be good for your kids and for your future. And I want to challenge you to slow down the treadmill, even get off of the treadmill in the next 40 days. And say, okay, God, I'm going to read what I need to read. I'm going to do to the very best of my ability what I need to do to get the most out of these 40 days. Now, how do you become a part of it all? as I said earlier, at 5:30 this afternoon, we're going to get together for a connection time. Now, this connection time is primarily for people who are not now involved in a small group. And if you're not now involved in a small group, we're inviting you to this time. Now, there are other ways that you connect without coming to this time, but we'd really like you to participate in this connection time tonight at 5:30. This is the best time to learn how to connect to groups. We're going to have child care. We're going to have something to eat at 5:30. We'll watch a video together, we'll share together, and you'll begin the week having done already the session for this week. Okay? Tonight at 5:30 is the ideal time to connect in a small group. Number four, got one more thing I want you to see before we're done this morning. The fourth thing that we see in Zacchaeus' life when it comes to his quest for purpose, we see that we can seek as we are sought. We can seek as we are sought. It's interesting to observe that Jesus sits down with Zacchaeus. They have this small group time together, this DTR time together. Zacchaeus' heart is touched. In fact, his whole life is changed. He says, Jesus, I'm going to get right with people. I'm going to stop robbing people. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to square things up. And Jesus responds back to him, today salvation has come to your house. Well, that's a neat thing to realize when you really think about the whole big picture. In the 10th verse of the 19th chapter of Luke, it says this. Jesus responds to all this. He says, for the Son of Man, and that of course is Jesus, came to seek and to save that was lost. He came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus says, do you want to know why I go and sit down with the most notorious thug in the city of Jericho? And I eat at his table and call him my friend? You know why I do that? Because I'm here for people who are far away from God. I'm here for people who will never make the list of spiritually mature people. I'm here for people who feel like they don't have it all together, who are not perfect, who haven't arrived. He says, I'm here for those people. That's why I'm here. I came to seek and to save those that are lost. Now, we don't just seek after him. He seeks after us. We seek him by knowing the fact that he is seeking us. And over the next 40 days, as we reach out to God, we need to understand that God is reaching out to us, wanting to communicate to us. And he's going to do something huge in our lives. Now, I've got something special for you this morning before you leave. And I'd like for Greg, would you come up and Charlie, would you come up? There's a pad right here. Two pads right there, and I'd like for you, everybody, to have one of the sheets that's on those two pads. Rick, would you just tear one of those off? I'm talking and listening. I want you to be listening while we're passing these out. But I want to pass around a prescription. I want all of you to have one. Now, how many of you have ever gone to a drugstore and got a prescription for yourself or somebody? Good. You go to the doctor, you get a prescription, you go in to get it filled. Now this may be the first time that you've ever gone to church and you've gotten a prescription. I just want you to take one of these prescriptions. I really think that you need a pastoral prescription today. You can get heavenly medication in a spiritual sense, okay? Now, let me read this to you. To whom it may, and we've got all, everybody got one here? Pretty soon we'll get one. Okay? To whom it may concern, my friend is excused from life's treadmill. For the next 40 days, please exempt this person from any unnecessary business or pesky mental distractions. I want you to give this to your boss and say, "Hey, man, my pastor gave this to me." And just understand, I just want you dialed in, okay? That's what I'm after. Now, after you give this to your boss, you may not have a job. So be careful. He or she is currently pursuing answers to life's biggest questions. Side effects may include, but may not be limited to, outbreaks of joy, unprompted smiling, and a deeper understanding of God. So now you have your permission. You have your doctor's note that you can get off the treadmill for the next 40 days and experience God doing something significant in your life. Now, I want to remind you of two different things. I want to say, before you leave today, grab one of the packets. And if you don't have the resources for the packet, don't worry about it. We want you to have the packet. There are people who've already taken care of that. They cost $15, not less. But if you don't have that, don't worry about it. And the second thing is, tonight at 5:30, tonight at 5:30 is that connection time. If you're not a part of the group, we'd like you to come tonight at 5:30. And as you walk out and as you leave that, you'll be a part of a group, having already done the session for this week. We'll answer the questions. And I say this to you. We'll not, you know, I know when you leak into a group, you say to yourself, I don't know the answers to that. Something that we don't worry about. We're not going to put you in a situation. We're just wanting you to pursue life's biggest questions. Okay? Let's stand together. Now, if you're here in this place and need to make a decision for the Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to come and talk to me. I just asked Greg to come up back there. Hans, why don't you raise your hand? Hans is another guy around here. Jerry Barnes back here. Tom Glasgow's over here. Pauline Wilkins here. Laura Barnes is here. Just go to one of them and ask your question. You need to make a decision for the Lord. Need the prayer for your life. We invite you to do that. Okay? Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for the journey that you allow us to take here on earth. And today and this week we're asking, why are we here? And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see clearly our purpose, the purpose that you've placed us here on earth for. And Lord, we know that may take a little bit of time. And we know that we may have to work through that day after day. We pray that you'd help us to get us on that path that is in your will, and is a part of your direction and your purpose for our life. Thank you for each family member that's here in this place, for each friend that's here. We pray your blessing on us as we answer life's most important questions in the weeks that are ahead. We pray your blessing upon that. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a good day today.
All right. I used to years ago.
Looking for somebody to pay.
your normal house or towards that house. But if you think about it, I think $40 or $50
I know.
You don't have to. You might
change. I don't think so. I probably don't have anything in my mailbox.
I thought that I kept the session right here. Come out and give it to you.
This thing?
I do not know what that is. His paws, I think.
Oh.
Thank you.
Up there by herself at the playground.
Oh, that's nice.
I know, right? Tell me about it.
going. You going in the room to play? Is he gonna follow you? How you feel? Where are you going?
Oh,
you might watch him then. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
You will.
Mr. Down, you get you one? You don't know how they go. Well, if you didn't get one, how can you go?
You can get one, but it doesn't really matter because you don't have to.
Is whose are those?
I don't know. They were sitting over here in barren grass, and they just went flying everywhere.
Oh. You need to get you a pack of that. Are you going to join a group?
I don't know. I've got stuff with work that I have to do all the time. After hours. And then I'm going to go to the bathroom.
What about if you can't do our group on a Thursday night? How about another group?
Oh, what are you doing? Taking a part?
Yeah.
It just depends on
what
I'm going
to do. All partners have to go.
2, 4, 6, 7 screws, 3, 4, 6.
Baron. 3, 5. Come here.
One I had folded. One I had folded like this, not like that.
Gotta unplug this there.
Unplug it?
So we decided to put nuts on it yesterday.
Yeah.
if they're holding on to this thing, all of a sudden you just fall on it.
It was the first phone call that I got. I hung up on it.
Two little plastic pieces here to come to me. Now, the top piece was a magnet. In there, we don't want to lose. Yeah, right here.
That's what starts and stops it. Right here.
Oh!
So you don't want to lose this. That's the key. Yeah, that's like the key.
Who brought this? Did you bring this?
No, your dad did in Suzanne's van.
And I'm taking it home on my truck and we're good. Okay.
Is it hell?
Yeah, probably a brain. Look at that thing.
It should be okay.
It's got wheels on this end.
Now, when I first got started,
I'm gonna get Lauren to bring me over and try to adjust it. That way, I can figure out what I'm gonna do. Because Karina wants me to wear her mom's dress.
Where are you?
I know that.
Where are you, Sia?
$300 for it, and never got to wear it.
I'm making it.
So, where? Keep on going.
Back there on the left.
Already gone. That thing's already gone. Gotta shut this off. This thing's already going.